Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you in association with Unibet. I am Callum Helliwell and I am again hosting this show. So Sam hasn't been kidnapped. He's just away in France enjoying some racing across the channel this week. So you're stuck with me again, unfortunately. But I am joined by three very, very good judges in the shape of Harry Wilson, Matt Rennie and Brett Williams. Firstly, Harry, how are you getting on? First time I've done a pod with you, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, no finer man, Callum, to have at the helm of this ship. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. The Eclipse is one of my favourite races, and we seem to be in for a cracker this weekend as well, with Aidan O'Brien pulling no punches. I don't think anyone expected Hawk Mountain and Constitution River to turn up. Not even Aidan O'Brien, by the sounds of it, for most of the week. So, it'd be a really interesting race, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is certainly the highlight of that card at Sandown, which is a proper kick in the face to start with. First race of the Group 3. We love to see it. Brett, are you representing Unibet as per usual? I'm sure you've got some Unibet stash on. Yes, there we see. We love to
zoom in.
We're halfway, we're 3 seconds away from a free the nipple advert there, Brett, so if we just calm it down just a little bit, we'll be fine. But this weekend's always good fun. It feels like we're now out of the sort of post-Royal Ascot blues and we can now really get stuck into the summer highlights.
I know, it's funny because I was obviously at Royal Ascot, 2 weeks ago, and then on the Tuesday after Ascot I flew to Cos for a week, and I've come back yesterday, so now I'm straight into Sandown. So I've sort of had a week where it's just all gone missing for some reason, but now we're back with top class racing action. As we said, you know, I mean, the Eclipse was looking like it could have sort of been quite a depleted field, but as you said, I mean, a lot of people knock Aidan O'Brien when he's very dominant in all these big races, but you know, we've got to give credit where it's due. He's put two real top notches and he's definitely added intrigue into what is a very, very high class renewal.
Oh, will be fascinating, no doubt. And Matt, again, this is the first time I've done a pod with you, but we were discussing Arc or LALA, who will come up later on in the show. And apparently you, alongside the whole of the Racing Post Office, was on board at York. So I imagine we're all going to team up again and hope we can do the business at Newmarket.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, it was the scenes at York after his win was more akin to something that should have been at Atlanta with the England fans last night after the game with the chance we were letting off. So, yeah, no, look, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I'm hoping we're all teaming up with him to roar him home again and hopefully on to bigger and better things as well.
He might be suffering the quadruple kiss of death, but let's get into Sandown because we'll start there with the Coral Charge. It's over the 5 furlongs and it looks like an absolute corker. Afora is your 15-8 favourite, Rumstar in the 11-4. Words of Truth, last time out winner in the Scurry, 3-1. Get Ready to Rumble, 17-2. Chagrin, 17-2. And it's 25-1 bar the rest. Seems quite a top heavy market, gents. Let's start with Brett on this one.
Well, I'll give you the offer to start with. If you back the second or the third, you're going to get your money back as cash. So that's a good offer with Unibet. It's a good race, isn't it? When you look at it, the previous wins of this, it's been won by some pretty good speedsters down the year. I think Batas were probably one of the best in recent years, but you know, you go back to Loxon and the Tatlin as well. So it's a race that does produce high-class horses. And as you said, you have got Asphora this year. When you look at her form figures, they don't look that inspiring, but even last time at Ascot, if she actually did run a lot better than I think the form figures suggest, she wasn't beaten too far at all. But is she vulnerable now? That's just my only concern for her. I think she could be to the improving Words of Truth for Charlie Appleby. Of course, Billy Lott named in the steering because Buick's over in the US. I just think, you know, he was impressive in the Scurry Stakes. He obviously handles the course. He likes a stiff finish. And I just think there's lots to like about him, really. That was his first run since Maidan when he won last time. So you could even expect him to improve a little bit for it. But as far as the one they've all got to beat, but I just think she may be just be coming to the end of her tether. So Words of Truth for me in what's a decent renewal of the charge.
Words of Truth for Brett, and a great offer there from Unibet as well. Harry, where are you nailing your colours to in this contest?
But once again, I'll be siding with Get Ready to Rumble, as I quoted him on Tuesday in my anti-post column as probably the unluckiest horse of the season. That run at Nace on his reappearance behind Mission Central, who obviously won the King Charles III Stakes last time, he just got absolutely no run. He was drawn on the wrong side, challenged on the wrong side, and still only got beat a length and a half. And the next twice, he's been drawn in stall one at Haydock Court on the outside with absolutely no cover And then Box won at Ascot. We saw all week what that was like. And just not to help matters, he jumped his way out of the stalls as well and ended up a few lengths behind. So I had him earmarked for a really good race this year, and I'm hoping that this will be the one. So I'm sticking with Get Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, he looks like a bit of a valuable play as well there, Harry. Could be plenty of value to be found with him. Matt, we've had Get Ready to Rumble. We've had Words of Truth. No one for the favourite. Will you turn the tide?
No, unfortunately not. As much as I love Us For It, I just think her form this season, even though I thought the King Charles III run was pretty good in only beating two lengths, I still think she's worth taking on from what we've seen as a whole this season. And I'm siding with last year's winner, Rumstar. I thought he was terrific in this race a year ago, and he's only ran once sort of badly over this course and distance that I think you can forget his run in the King Charles III last time. He was drawn single figure stall, and we all know what happened at Ascot that week. And it seems like it's just twice he's running that in the King Charles III, and twice he's been pretty disappointing, to be honest with you. But he bounced back last year, and I'm hoping so he does again, because I thought it was a terrific run behind Knight Raider in the Palace House Stakes at Newmarket on his comeback. And we saw what Knight Raider did, boosting the form by winning the Temple Stakes. So I think it's a lot of nice form there. It's concerning he's got to give £3 to Us For It and £5 to Words of Truth, who feels the sort of his main rival. But just on what he did last year, we know he handles the course and the trip. Obviously, it's a very much a stiff finish at Sandown. I'm keen on Rumstar, very keen on him, actually.
Yeah, like he loved his winner, comes back again. He loved the track. You know, he knows plenty about it. And again, a little bit of value to be found there. So we're all staying away from the favourite. We must move on, though, to the Coral Challenge. And Brett, before we get into it, hit us with an offer.
Here we are. Five places each way. Nice and easy. Good race, isn't it? Tribal Chief is one of the best backs in this race, talking to our trainers a few minutes ago. There is always a lot of nelly for him. He does always tend to run well, doesn't he? But he just doesn't quite get his head in front when you hope he does. But as I said, there has been many for him. Richard Hannon's got a couple of runners in it, Classic and River King. River King is a horse that I've backed him so many times, he always gets beaten. But I know he was always quite highly regarded when he first sort of stepped onto the race course. He carries, of course, the same colours as Happy Romance. But he's got some good form, actually. I thought that was a good run in the Buckingham Palace at Royal Ascot last time. He's off the same mark here of 95. I think this step back up to a mile will suit him rather than seven. And he's around sort of 14 to one. And whether he's going to quite be good enough to win, I don't know. But I think he'll run. He wasn't being far last time. He ran well at decent sort of prices. And he's entered in the big, what they call it, Goodwood, the Celebration Mile or whatever it's called. Golden Mile. He's in the Golden Mile at Goodwood. So you'd like to see him run a nice race in this to be worthy of a chance at Goodwood in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, he'll be intriguing. Matt, are you going to be going for something bigger than River King or something a little bit shorter?
Just a similar price, really. I think with the nice each way five places offering, there's some value in Classic's price. He rarely lets himself down at Sandown. Obviously, again, back in the winner of the race last year in Classic, but he was a really good winner last year. He's on a career high mark of 90.99, but I thought he ran a terrific race in the Hunt Cup when he was ninth, but he was only beaten about four or so legs behind an absolute runaway winner, as we saw in Rogue Diplomat on the stand size rail. And he's been in terrific form this season again before, and narrowly beaten in a big handicap at Newbury the Spring Cup, and then won a valuable prize beating Indalo, the favourite here on Locking Stakes Day. And so he won this race last year, was second at Sandown before. The only time he's been disappointing was in this race 2 years ago when he was ninth, but before that he's run terrifically. It's a place he calls sort of his second home away from Richard Hannon's yard, really. So I could see him running a nice race. We know what he is. He's pretty exposed as a handicapper, but he rarely lets you down. And being in good form this season, I'm happy to sign him at a double figure price.
I'd say a lot of these are fairly exposed in here, aren't they, to be perfectly honest? So I don't think we're going to bump into something on the upgrade. I think we know plenty about these ones in this field. Harry, who caught your eye?
Yeah, I'm going to go even bigger, Callum. I really like the Royal Hunt Cup form. Obviously, there's a few of the horses in here, but it was Ozat that caught my eye for Ian Williams. It's the horse, he's got better with each run for Ian Williams. Without Ian Williams being in brilliant form, he's just found that form recently with a few winners in the last couple of weeks. Ozat's dropped to a mark that should be quite comfortable for him, really, on the form that he showed in France. What I like is horses who finish finishing speed is better than their position. And in the Hunt Cup, his finishing speed was the fifth best. He finished eighth. So chances are he's better than that. He was like Group 2 class, listed class in France. If he can build on that run at Ascot, I think he's got a massive chance at a big price.
Potentially another shrewd purchase from the Ian Williams team, who tends to do quite well with these type of horses who have got a little bit of back form in a different jurisdiction and then can kick on going forward. The 3 o'clock is up next. That's the Distaff for the fillies, and we know we're going to get an offer here, Brett, so give us that offer.
Yeah, top price every single runner in this race, Callum, so you are going to get best odds whichever way you look at it. And what's an interesting little race, isn't it? My nap actually is going to come. So I say the nap now, or just sort of wait till the end of the show? But anyway, Sacred Grind, of course. She's the horse I really like, Sacred Grind.
Just let that nap out. Let it out now.
Let it out now. People haven't got to watch till the end then, have they? Sacred Grind. I thought that was a cracking run in an enlisted race at Goodwood last time. She really beat all that far. She was in front, a couple of yards from the line. She's got cheap pieces on for the first time. I think she'll be suited by the mile distance as well. And John Gosden, they've won two of the last five of this. So, it's a race they tend to do well in. So Sacred Grind for me, and what's an open race, you can make a case for quite a few of them, to be honest. It's not a bad little renewal, to be honest. But yeah, Sacred Ground for me in a race where, as I said, we will be top industry prize every single runner.
Yeah, only 3-year-olds in this, Harry, but plenty of differing profiles for a few of them, including Secret Life, who's only had the two starts but is yet to lose the race. Who do you like?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more interesting races on the card. I was quite keen to take on the top of the market, though. Like Pacific Mission, if you go back to her Breeders' Cup run, you'd say that she would just win this, but she hasn't really been at that level this season. I've landed on Silenciosa for Tom Clover. Probably a bit left field, considering she was well beaten in the Guineas, but she was a massive eye catcher in the Fred Darling on her reappearance. She got no luck in running at all and had to be switched around the entire field. Finished really strongly over 7 furlongs. I'm pretty sure she'll find improvement for the mile, even if it didn't quite look like that in the Guineas. Like, obviously, that's a massive test. This is a lot weaker race. They clearly think a bit of her if she was going down the Guineas trial. And yeah, I think she's a bit overpriced for what she has achieved so far. And she could be a bit of value in an open race.
Yeah, she's also got one of the best pedigrees in this field. She's got a proper US style pedigree, being blind by Blame and out of a Giants Causeway mare. There's a lot to like about it. And I think you're right there. I think the Tom Clover team, who are doing quite nicely, I can't remember where I was racing somewhere this week, and they had a nice winner, which had been well back. So I wouldn't be surprised if she goes off a bit shorter as well. Matt, in here, Pacific Mission, are you keen or not so keen?
Not so keen just on what she's done this season. I'm with Brett on Sacred Ground. For me, watching her last couple of races, it seems like she might be a horse that would be optimum sort of at 9 furlongs rather than a mile and a quarter, and which I think marks her up for encouraging runs behind Esner. I think it's a lovely filly, 2 starts going, and that listed race at Goodwood. So hopefully this stiff mile at Sandown is going to be a testing finish. Could be up to her optimum with the cheap pieces on. I feel like this mile, so you can hard to find opportunities, but this one looks like a perfect one for her.
Yeah, it looks very well placed indeed. We get to our feature race at 3:35. It is the Coral Eclipse over the mile and a quarter. And Brett, I'll come straight to you to start with, because I know there's an offer that you're giving us here.
Yeah, super boosting. So super boost the whole field in this. So you will get enhanced odds. And as we said, we've already mentioned, it's a cracking the race, isn't it? You want to sort of try and find a reason as to why Constitution River should be beaten. And there's very little sort of chinks in his armour to suggest why he can be beaten. I will just say, talking to our trainers about sort of 20 minutes before we came on air, they did say it's very much top heavy. It is very much a sort of two-horse book, really. And the best of the two at the top of the market would be Gethin, the second best in the market. Of course, he's trained by Owen Burrows, ran well last time. There's only £2 between this one and Constitution River. I'm doing well because I'll keep going to say Constitution, the other one, but we've not managed to get it yet, so we're doing okay.
The novice stakes race, he'll be rocking up in somewhere on the All Weather
Scheme. When I start talking about class leader, who's favourite for the Ebor, I'm going to try not to mention the other horse because he's second favourite for the race, who might run very soon. There's very little reason why you want to oppose Constitution and River. Aidan O'Brien, what he's seeking a 10th success in this race, and if he doesn't do with this one, he'll probably do with Hawk Mountain.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be far off. Matt, it's a tough ask for Geffen, who has to give weight away to the younger rivals, despite the fact that I'd argue that his form might be the strongest in the field. That fright that he gave to Ombudsman, I know not an Ombudsman's favourite track, but it has to be marked up, surely.
Absolutely so, and I'm still siding just narrowly on Team Geffen, but I think it's because at the prices you've got to I'd like to try and take Constitution River on, even though his form looks pretty bomb-proof. That was a brilliant win in the Prix de Jockey last time, and he's, I think it's £10 he's getting, which is sort of a staggering staggering weight Geffen has to give away in the first class of the generations. I know it goes down later on the season, but I'd like it to not be off level terms, so like in the Eclipse, but maybe a little bit of a less discrepancy. I thought his run was absolutely terrific in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, and I'm in the camp that he is the best horse in the world. Sorry, Kai Ying Rising. But, you know, he was narrowly beaten there. I know he was getting weight, narrowly beaten. It was a terrific run. And we all saw what Ombudsman did it to enhance the form in the Prince of Wales Stakes. It was simply staggering. And I marked down afterwards then that, for a while, Geffen, he's a Group 1 winner in waiting. I think it will definitely come this season. Whether it comes on Saturday, it's going to be a tough ask, but I'm happy to keep on side with him and for the rest of the season. So, yeah, hopefully Owen Burrows can work his magic again. I think he's an absolutely terrific trainer of these Group 1 horses. He absolutely nails it near enough every time. So Team Geffen for me.
Okay, then. Well, Harry, we've had one for Constitution River, one for Geffen. I imagine you're going to throw something completely left field and give us like King's Gambit or something like that. Go on, what we got?
I must admit, I did think King's Gambit was really interesting. Like the fact that they're like a serial hold-up horse is going to be making the pace really interests me. And a lot of his best form was on fast ground when he led or was prominent. So I wouldn't rule out a big run from him, but I'm not going to go that silly. And we'll go back to Constitution River, who I think is Aidan O'Brien's best three-year-old. That performance that he put up in the D was something special. You only have to look back at that form as well. Not only was the time very good, but the seconds won the Hampton Court, the third won the Copped Hat, and the fourth came second in the German Guineas. So he smashed up a load of good horses. You know he's going to get the pace that he needs to aim at. And I know everyone seems to like Geffen. I don't think that performance at Sandown was anything special. But Ombudsman doesn't like Sandown. He wasn't fit. And yeah, he was giving him £7. I think Geffen's probably a little bit shorter than he should be. Anyway, but I think Constitution River should be odds on. I think he's the best horse in this field.
I think he could be the... I saw there was an interview with Chapman. Well, not an interview, he was talking to himself, basically. But he said there's no flat racing superstars. I think Constitution River, if he was to do a job here, could put himself in that camp for this season in a year where we're sort of desperately looking for superstars. So the Eclipse is our feature on the Saturday. We'll be back to bring you more from Newmarket after this short break. Beautiful, lovely stuff. Everybody's happy. There's a great advert break here, and then we've got booths for the Newmarket stuff as well.
Lovely.
It's going to be the race up. Okay. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you in association with Unibet. The boys are still here. I've not managed to put any of them off through the ad break, but we must move up to Newmarket, where there's a quite tasty little card to get stuck into. And it starts off with the 1-mile-6 handicap contest, where Arc Ole Ole tops the betting. And we may as well move on to the next race, lads, because we're all on board, aren't we? Come on, Brett, tell us we're all on board.
No, I'm against you. I'm going against you. I'm on that that mythical bear. That was a good win at Newbury last time. Okay, he's a bit higher in the weights, but I think his step up and shoot was suiting. But no, I can obviously make a case for the favourite. We are price boosting your horse though, Arc Ole Ole. So you will get those in outsides. But I'm going to go against you and go for mythical bear. And also like Callum and Andrew Boarding, 23% strike rate is true, which I know he does obviously ride a lot of his horses, but that's not a stat to be sniffed at between those two.
Yeah, no, he's a good little rider, Callum, and he also spelled his name correctly with two L's, which I continue to push that narrative that the one L Callums need to be wiped from the face of the earth. But Mystical Bay is a danger, but come on, Harry, come
danger.
On. We'll start with you, Harry. Come on, this Arcoleo laser is a proverbial good thing, surely. Gone up £4 for losing a handicap at Royal Ascot. The owners were fuming with the ride that he got on that day. I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, this is the race where there are no dangers. This is Arcoleo, the perfect race for him. Like, I was gutted when he lost to Royal Ascot. I napped him that day at whatever silly price he was at 16s. Like, we're dealing with a proper horse here. He's got a serious pedigree, and they've got him handicapping off a really lovely mark. I'd be gobsmacked if he's not really a 100 horse, and he's running off 89. He's got loads of stamina on his damn side, so this step up in trip should be perfect. Yeah, massive eye catcher of Royal Ascot. I think he's got loads in hand, Callum. I really do think that he just wins.
Yeah, Luke Morris back in the plate as well. Rose Scott was on at Ascot. He's not on board anymore. I'm pretty sure Luke rode him at Donny when he made his seasonal reappearance. Yeah, he did. So that was a good ride. He had to lift him on that day. He looked like he was thriving for the step up and trip even back then. Matt, let's just move on, mate. This thing just canters on, doesn't it?
Yeah, Harry summed up perfectly with three words. He just wins. I'm absolutely a massive fan of Arcoleo, and I'm a massive fan of him in the future for the Melrose Handicap at York if they fancy going down that route. Given I was at the Dante meeting, how well he won that race, I was staggered. And you thought then, yeah, he's got absolutely tons in hand. And realistically, only going up £4 for doing really well in the circumstances at Ascot in a deep, deep Royal Ascot Handicap, he simply looks chucked in to me. I think Dylan's a good horse with these handicaps as well. He can get them. And these horses, we know from likes of Prague, he gets them on a roll winning. They can win 4, 5, 6 on the trot. Obviously, he won't be him because he was fifth, but it was still an incredibly good run. So, yeah, Arcoleo for me. And then hopefully, I shall see him at the Ebor Festival next month.
Look at you, Matt, getting your race planners, together there.
If Dylan wants any help or anything, he knows my number. He knows where to go.
Oh, well, Matt, don't forget, Dylan, there's an ammo racing gig going for a race panel I saw advertised on socials a few weeks ago. Get yourself in on that one. There's plenty of ponies to work there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We must move on, though, to the 240. So our next contest on the card for Lancashire Oaks. Again, it's one for the fillies. And Brett, give us a quick offer here as we look Tiffany topping the betting.
Yeah, so super boosting the whole field here. So every runner you will get in hand starts. And I mean, you might disagree, but I don't think this is a particularly strong renewal at all. I think this is a real weak Lancashire Oaks, of course, moved down from Haydock. The favourite is Tiffany. She's odds on. She doesn't win that often, but she's got visors on for the first time, which hopefully you might sort of just eke out a little bit more from her. She hails from Sumar Prescott, of course, who won this race with Alpinista a couple of years ago. So, you know, he knows the time of day with this. She's got an entry in the Yorkshire Oaks. I mean, this isn't a race you particularly want to get inspired about. But maybe you can sort of, you know, you can persuade me otherwise. Because I think I'm going to have to go for Arcoleo now. I've changed my mind a little bit.
No, don't change your mind, Brett. Don't let Harry, myself and Matt change your mind.
I feel like I was bullied into a corner.
We were speaking it into existence. That's what it's called, manifestation. I thought we're all in on it now. I can give some interest in this race. I thought Tati Corum was wildly overpriced. That win at Goodwood Enlisted Company was a little bit went under the radar because she wasn't that well fancied on that day and the favourite sort of bombed out. But I thought she ran a nice race. I'm surprised she's the price she is. Harry, is there any other value to be found in this contest?
Tati Corum is definitely the value play, I'd say. Like, she's only ever run over a mile four on quick ground twice, and she was a really good second at Ascot last year, and she won, as you say, really well at Goodwood. That race isn't a race to be sniffed at either. Like, she was far too good for Crepsey Zet, who she takes on again here. And the second was Coadana for Ed Bethel, and that's a horse that I really like. She got within four lengths of Estrange next time and then won a listed race. So the form isn't like Mug's form. It's not a poor listed race by any chance. She will have to step up to get anywhere near Tiffany, but at the prices, I'd definitely be willing to play Tati Corum.
Yes, and man, you great mind thinker like there, Harry. I get it completely. Matt, will we bully you into a Tati Corum selection? I'm getting worried HR will be on the phone soon.
Yeah, probably so. Actually, it's incredibly convincing cases for it. I mean, it's a race I probably won't play at the weekend just because Tiffany's the most outstanding form in the field, being a multiple Group 1 runner-up in the three times now, including to Bay City Roller last November. And we saw what he went and did in the Coronation Cup as a proper Group 1 performer. It was an encouraging return. She's £10 better, well, £10 higher than the rest of the field. So they're going to have to improve a hell of a lot to even get close to her. It looks like Sir Mark Prescott, whether he's gone for the ploy here to go there, knowing it'll be a weak Lancashire Oaks, who knows, but it's definitely a weak running, and it looks like it's all for her to take. But with the convincing from the jury of Mrs. Wilson and Helliwell, I will have a little play on Tati Corum as well.
If Tati Corum ends up finishing 20 lengths attached to the field, you never heard it from us, from Phil Lawfare. But no, I think she's got a good chance. I when I looked at the prices, I thought she was wildly overpriced for what she's actually achieved. And as Harris mentioned, quick ground, that trip should suit her down to the ground. Brett, the final race we'll focus on is the Old Newton Cup, which looks this year to be the complete opposite of the Lancashire Oaks. This looks like a proper horse race. And I'd say this would be, for me, the feature on that Newmarket card. It's Class Leader and Elsass both come here on the back of very eye-catching wins. You've then got the experience of the likes of Plaster Half and Paddy the Squire. You've got Claymore, who was once considered a Derby prospect, who's now got back on the winning press. And then all the way down to Amez, who was running in at the Cheltenham Festival over hurdles only a few starts ago. So completely different contest here, Brett. And I know there's an offer, I think it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 again, isn't it?
Yeah, four places. So one extra place each way in this. But yeah, I mean, you sort of hit the nail on the head there. It's a race. There is you know, so many idiosyncrasies to it, really. You know, you've got the improvers like Class Leader, and you've got the well-established hardy handicappers. And, you know, you do need hardy handicappers. Sometimes Class can prevail, but, you know, there's a lot of bumping and grinding around, and you need a horse that can cope with that. I was very impressed, though, with Class Leader at York last time. When you go onto the course, and there's always like a talking horse, everyone says, William Haggis is going to win with Class Leader today. And I was on board, and, you know, very, very impressive in the Jorvik. As a consequence of that, he was then put into market leader with Unibet for the Eagle. He's currently 6-1 favourite to win that race in August. And you'd imagine if he wins on Saturday, that price is going to shorten even more. There's just lots to like about him. You know, he was impressive on that day. He's up £7, but I think he's paying more value for that. I'm a big fan of him, as I said, in the race where we are paying an extra place each way. But I would just like to give a mention to Night Breeze in there. Another runner for Ian Williams. He is such a tough horse. He's off a career high now. I think he's up to 94, 95 or something like that. And he's off a career high because he's just so consistent. He doesn't really do himself any favours, but he always runs well. And he replaced it at some last time out. And, you know, I can see him running another big race in the race where, as I said, we are paying an extra place each way. So, you know, get on him at sort of, 14, 16-1.
Yeah, there'd be some value there. I personally thought if you're looking for the biggest value with those extra places, I think Enemy, right outside of the field, I think he could run into a place down at a mark for 3.97 now. Yeah, yeah. I just think at a mark of 97, where he's proven he can do it, even a horse that's covered himself in glory, it's a proper good races, and might just stumble into a fourth position on the day. But Harry, let's try and find the winner of this, because I'm sure you're not going to say Enemy's going to win this one.
What was eye-catching at Ascot, to be fair? He did make a really good move into contention, but I think this is Elsass's race. Since being gelded, been very impressive on his last two starts. That win at the Hamilton isn't anything special, but couldn't do anything but do it well. The Johnsons have an affinity with this race. They won it, I think, three times about 10 years ago. The only runner they've had since came second at 40-1. So when the Johnsons target a race, obviously this should be at Haydock and not at Newmarket, which does make it a bit different. He won that race in the manner of one who had a big race in him. I don't think an £8 rise is too much. And yeah, I'm just expecting him to carry on and improve him.
Yeah, she had a wicked turn of foot that day as well. And he wasn't the favourite. He dispatched of Humble Spark quite easily. So he could be a fun one to follow going forward as he looks to rattle off the hat-trick, started his season on the all-weather. Matt, the final selection of the final race, it has to be a winner. Who's it going to be?
Oh, I'm going to be so boring. I apologise to all the viewers and listeners. I'm Class Leader, favourite. I don't know. There's not much juice in the price, but His win at York was terrific, and I just feel he's one of these William Haggas horses that's just going to rapidly progress through the handicap ranks and end up being sort of a Group 3, Group 2 performer in time. But the form of his York run is holding up really, really well. The runner-up singles a song ran really well in the Copper Horse Stakes at Ascot. So many handicaps there these days, I kind of forget which ones are which. And the fourth St Etienne ran a storm win fourth in the Northumberland Plate last weekend as well. So it's all stacking up. He seems really progressive. Boring, but the favourite. Sometimes we need to do that, especially if we're looking for that winner. So class leader for me.
Nothing wrong with that, Matt. Doesn't matter what price they are if they win. And I tell you, he's a big old boy, though, isn't he? You can see why the Haggas team have taken the time with him. He's a William and Maureen Haggas special, you feel, where they've just given him a little bit of time to come into himself and grow into that frame. But we must get on to naps. We'll start with you, Brett. Who is going to be your nap on Saturday?
So I'm going to go with Sacred Ground for the John Ferdy Gosden team in the distaff at 3 o'clock. We're top industry price every single runner there. And the Gosden's got a good record in the race. She's got cheap pieces on for the first time. She's stepping back to a mile, which I think will suit her. So Sacred Ground for me in the distaff at 3 o'clock at Sandown.
Harry Wilson, who do you like and who's going to be your nap?
I'm hoping that Get Ready to Rumble will make it fourth time lucky for me. In the Coral Chargers, the 150 at Sandown, been so unlucky this season. He's a really good horse, a lot better than he's been showing, and I think this race would be perfect for him.
We'll be hearing from you either at the top of the cliff or at the bottom of the cliff as you continue to stick with Get Ready to Rumble. Matt, who will be your nap of the Saturday?
Yes, sadly, I'm going against, I'm in the same race as Harry, so he might be at that bottom of that cliff if this horse comes in. Rumstar in the Coral Charge, 150 at Sandown. I just think he's a lovely sort of hardened group sprinter. He loves the track as well. So Rumstar in the Coral Charge for me.
Yeah, Rumstar looking for back-to-back wins in the race. And it's got to be Arco Leo Le for me. It might be the kiss of death now I've napped it, but I just a horse I think they really like a lot. It'll be probably ridiculously short on the day. Brett's traders will be having steam coming out of their ears if people continue to invest into Arco Leo Le, but I hope this is his opportunity to get his head back in front after an unfortunate run at the Royal Meeting. But that is all we have time for on the Racing Postcast, brought to you in association with Unibet. As always, please bet responsibly, even with a horse like Arc Ole Ole, who just wins. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.